That's easy to say, but harder to follow. Because this Papa Bear worried about us all the time. He worried about us as a team. He worried about if there was going to be enough money, you know, daily. He worried about that we were being fed, that we were being happy, that we were being healthy. But every day, you could count on Papa Bear to make sure that we were ready to do the work. Our presentation, our materials were ready. We were on time and ready, Papa Bear. And then there was Mama Bear. Everybody needs a Mama Bear who makes sure that everything's okay. Like, don't worry, there's enough money. There's food. We can get this done. You know, let's work together. Robert, do this. Robert, do that. You know, Mama Bear was there. We couldn't do it without Mama Bear. I'll tell you, she is the most organized Mama Bear that I've ever met. She organized us constantly. And then there was Uncle Bear. Every family needs an uncle, you know, somebody that's just, somebody can come along and visit and, you know, smart, intelligent, but not taking over the family, you know, just offering wisdom from a side. And, you know, Uncle Bear always helped. Now, I don't know if you know this about him, but he's got some special talents. He can prep food like nobody else. And when Mama Bear organized the baked chicken and the potatoes, it was Brad who peeled all the potatoes. It was Brad who scraped all the carrots. And every day, it was Brad who did the dishes. So Uncle Bear was really good. And we called him Uncle Bear till, you know, one day when life wasn't so good, we gave him another name. It was Pukey Bear. You might want to ask him about that later. And then there was our baby bear. You know, every family needs a little one. And that doesn't mean the little ones don't work. With Mama and Papa Bear, are you kidding? You know, Mama Bear wanted to know how come every time she ordered Baby Bear around, he had this growl on his face. But yet when Nana Bear asked him to do something, he was always doing it. You know, Baby Bear worked very hard on our trip. When it came to our presentations, he did exactly what he was supposed to. But believe me, babies like to play. And the four of us loved to watch him as he engaged with all of the young adult Fijian people. And we know Baby Bear did a lot of work and a lot of play in Fiji.
So we became the Bear family. And as soon as the bears settled into their apartment, they became a bigger family, a much bigger family. Because a big part of our prep is to engage with the Fijians and to get to know the Fijians and to live with the Fijians if possible. Because we want them to be part of our team. So this year, it was very possible. We had these amazing women, Marioni and Lamba. And they moved in. They had no problem moving in. Marioni had no problem bringing her laundry. Marioni had no problem bringing everything and everyone to our house. And she was amazing as a hostess and a person who booked our schools and a person who just supported us completely on our time in the Nandi area. And Lamba, she's our baby too. We would have brought her home for Robert, but he didn't want to. There's Mama Bear again. Anyways, Lamba was just an amazing young woman who just finished graduating and was getting ready to go out and get a job and do things. So she took a whole week out of her job hunting to just come along with us and be part of our team. And these ladies helped us with the kitchen, with the cooking, with buying food, with just everything in our team. And we became the Big Bear family.
So Fijians are quite an amazing people group. And one thing that I learned very quickly is that they love to bless people with hospitality, but they also love to bless them with life. One of their sayings is bula, and that's their greeting. And it's just wishing life upon you. That's something that really stood out to me. And so as we had this team that we were bonding with, we all of a sudden got invited to this birthday party. And this is where kind of my second nickname is going to come from, is this lovely birthday party. So the road that we take there is super questionable and shaky. If I just want you to picture the worst dirt road here in this area, and probably, I don't know, multiply that by 10. It was that bad, and we're in the shaky van that the doors didn't work, and we were pretty much trapped inside if anything really happened. And so we're bumping along on this road, and we arrive in kind of this, their homes. You could all just experience what their homes look like. They're definitely not as glamorous as anything that we have here. Even our trailer park stuff is far grander than some of their homes. And so we arrive at this place, and this generosity and hospitality just begins to stand out as we look and we see, I don't know how many meats were on that grill, but there was many, many like meats there. And the vegetation and the fruit that they had there for us was just, it was outstanding. It was such a blessing to know that we have only been there a couple days. We're invited to this birthday party, and they gave a buffet of amazing food. However, this food did not react well with me, but that's a completely like off-topic kind of thing. We were just blessed to be a part of the ceremony. In fact, I think every one of us almost played some sort of role in blessing the birthday girl of that time. So that was pretty fantastic, and it was great to just be a part of Fiji culture.
That was day one of our trip, so we had flown all night from leaving Edmonton, flown all night, greeted by the Fijians, got into our place, bought a few groceries, and then off to the birthday party. So naturally, this young uncle, he was tired. He was tired and a little bit miserable, not in the best, you know, and there he's going to a birthday party when really all he wants to do is go and sleep. And so, you know, we all sat there watching things, and being the good grandma I was sitting right next to him, and we had our food, and, you know, I had a little bit, but he had, like, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And he's sitting there, and I'm looking at him. His face is getting white. It's getting green. And I said, oh, you're not feeling too good. He says, hmm. And I said, you're not eating very much. He goes, hmm, hmm. And I look down, and there's this little green worm crawling along his plate. And as I look at it, I see his face turning all green. And that was the beginning of Pukey Bear. But God is with us wherever we go, and we know that through answered prayers, we got our uncle back after a few days. I strongly believe that we as Christians need to start our day with God, that we need to start off in His Word, praying and being with Him. And personally, well, I guess I'm retired. I don't have to wake up and rush off to work. I get that opportunity to really spend a good part of my morning with Him each morning. And I believe strongly that we needed to do that as a team. And so we got the book, Sarah Young's, Jesus Today, Finding Hope in His Presence. And starting day one in the airport, we each had our book, and we gathered together, we read God's Word, looked at a story, talked, prayed, and committed our day to our Lord. Now that takes a lot of accountability. We had to set up a time so that we all knew that we were meeting at 8 o'clock or 7:30 or whatever the day brought to us. And we came with our books ready and prepared to do that. I like to consider the mission trip being like a spiritual retreat where you get the privilege to be able to spend more time in His Word. And we could not have become a family had we not spent that time together in God's Word, praying together, and working together.
So what does a day of ministry look like? Well, we would get up in the morning, we would have our devotions, and we would get off to the schools. And sometimes they were close, sometimes they were on paved roads, sometimes they were out in a village. And in the villages, it was just amazing. So we would get to the school, and attention would be directed towards us. There's a van coming, there's a team all dressed in purple shirts, and it was just great to be greeted by them. Then we'd go and connect with the teacher and the principal, they called it the headmaster. And once again, just, oh, so good to have you here. They were excited about a group coming to teach their children about Jesus. And friends, family, that's why we went, is to teach their children about Jesus, or to continue to teach them, or to teach something new. This year's theme is about fear. And it's not a part of the plan. And so just that was just an awesome time of being there, connecting with them, and just being greeted with excitement and enthusiasm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they would totally be interested in us, yeah, like Mike was saying, and we would get out of the van and set up the stage, the sound, and set the puppets up, and we would have our Fijian volunteers from the churches along with us. There is one guy named Junior who would really help with the sound every time, because you'd have to find a cord and plug it in. And we would have it all set up at the school, and sometimes that was difficult to find a good spot, because there's just, you need to find the power cord, and you also had to be able to see everyone. And the topic of our school program was fear, like Mike said as well, and that was really good. They seemed to really latch on to that message. Do not be afraid.
Awesome. All these, just to let you all know, all these kids really love Robert, and they really pulled towards him, but who can really blame them, as he was the king in our play that I'm going to talk about here. So, as you know, I talked about the fact that we did a memory verse, and we kind of, you can see it up behind us here on the Fiji flag there, and this is something that I always look forward to, and I always, always, always tried to make it as loud as I possibly could. Now, this was a mistake in some instances, because at one point in time, what was it? There was like a school of 900 kids. And they're all listening to us as we present the message to them. And I was like, I'm going to hype these guys up amazing. And we gathered kind of underneath this, I don't know, it's a covering maybe about this size, but it's obviously, it's open air all around us. And so I get them just yelling out this verse as loud as they can. Our eardrums almost explode. And then I'm like, that was awesome. I'm going to try that at our next school. And so we arrive at an all-girls school. And we're in a tiny little room. I forget how many people were there. 700 were gathered. 700 girls gathered in this tiny little room that we're just crammed into. And it's got like a tin roof. And I'm not thinking at this point in time. And I was like, I went through the verse once, and I kind of did the, I can't hear you taunt. And afterwards, I was kind of saying, I can't hear you, because my eardrums almost blew off. And the rest of the team afterwards was like, you can't do it that loud again. That was bad news. But it was just awesome to see the fact that, you know, as we're up here, we have a group of kids memorizing a verse together with you. And each time, it was just mind-blowing for me that they would be saying it along at the same time as me, with me only saying it three times to them. And it was just shocking to see that. I look at like kind of our culture, and just like I thought it would be fun to kind of bring that dynamic back home to our church every once in a while, and just be like, let's do a memory verse together, and let's learn something. Let's have it set in our hearts like they used to do way back in the Old Testament days, where they had the Bible memorized. And I was just so inspired by some of what they do there in that culture, and how quickly they caught on to things. It was amazing to really have it all unfold and have 900 plus kids at times shouting the word of God right back at you. That's powerful. That is very powerful. And so usually after the verse, we do a skit that would tie it all in there, and it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we always had to usually grab just a different part, especially in the second half of our trip, because there's a lot of Fijians helping us out at that point in time, and every one of them wanted to try something new. So we'd always just put on a different hat and act out a different role. And that was pretty amazing to see as we saw the tale of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just unfold several times a day. And each time, we'd just be praying that it would impact us in a way and also impact those kids. As they would always pull out something different from what we always encourage them to really hear.
Our presentations were fantastic. You know, God sent us out on that mission trip, and I have to tell you, if we were given a grade, we did a great job. We did an absolutely fabulous job every time we presented, and it was because of the passion and effort that everybody put in. You had to see Brad behind the puppet stage to see him just going wild. His body was shaking, and he was just 100% into it. And so was Robert. Robert and I led the songs, and so we stood together, the old lady and the young, baby bear during our thing. And I thought, you know, some of those kids were looking at me. They're all looking at him, naturally. When I was with Sabrina, they all looked at her. Now I get Robert, they're looking at. But for me, if I close my eyes and think about Fiji, it was the welcome of the children. When they saw us, they had such big smiles. They weren't sitting there like, and they would come up to us, and they'd shake hands with us, and they'd want to talk to us, and the welcome that those children put on, and then their absolute positive commitment to being engaged in our presentation, listening and participating when we asked them to participate. To me, that was just the pleasure of knowing that we were able to give God's gospel in such a unique way. But that wasn't the whole part of it. That little presentation we could do here, and we could go walk away. The big part of Seeds International is to bring the gospel to the grade 4 children. Now, the schools knew it was for grade 4s, but hey, you got some Canadians, you might as well send the whole bunch in from grade 1 to grade 8. So we presented to often the whole school. But at the end of the presentation, Mike and I had an important job to do. So did the rest. They visited with all the kids. But Mike and I met with the grade 4 teachers, and we showed them and the workbooks that we were going to leave for each and every one of their students. We delivered over 2,000 of these workbooks to students, 2,000. And we were able to sit with the teachers, just actually sit down. And because Mike and I have some educational background, we were able to walk through it. There's 14 lessons here. 7 of them are about beginning a relationship with Jesus, committing their life to them, accepting him, about salvation and sin. And then the last 7 lessons are about the Beatitudes, about kindness and goodness and perseverance and love. And so we showed them how this works, how to help their students work through it so that it wasn't just something the kids just took and didn't work with. And then we had teachers' guidebooks that helped them to teach the lessons, showing them how to pray with the kids before they started the lesson, giving them Bible verses that they could memorize with each lesson. And, you know, at the end of the time, the teachers expressed immense gratitude for these materials. And it is this that is the basis behind Fiji. Not the fun, not the presentation and all those things, but the fact that we were bringing the gospel to these children and leaving them so that that work could continue. And as we stand here today, I pray that these books are being used with those 2,000 students. Now, the students appreciated us, but so did the staff and the parents. And often after a presentation, we would be lured into one of the rooms, and there'd be coffee and tea and juice and sandwiches, sometimes fruit. They just were so hospitable. We truly felt honored and respected.
It was at the end of our presentation, we had one of the songs, and it was just a worship song. And sometimes the kids would be following along in their actions, and I'm like, and as we're doing this, I'm just standing in the back, and I'm just praying, oh God, move, Holy Spirit, come. And make your, you know, Jesus, make it just so real to them. Because like Lorraine said, it's not about the songs, it's about Jesus. And at the end, I just prayed. And every time I prayed, before I prayed, I said, Holy Spirit, just give me a word of blessing for this school and for these children. And each and every time we felt just the Spirit of God move through the assembly. And it was just wonderful just to watch their faces and to sing along and to be open and receptive to Jesus.
So just to let everybody know, we were there during their winter time. I don't think that really exists, but it was roasting hot there. So once this was all done, we're all pouring sweat, and thankfully we purchased these things called Sulus. As soon as we kind of arrived there, I saw these guys wearing these skirts, and I'm like, oh boy, what's up with this culture here? I'm a little concerned. I'm never going to wear one of those. But doing one of these schools in black pants, I was like, I'm getting one of those Sulu man skirt things, because, wow, it was refreshing to be doing that with, like, cooler kind of feel to everything. And so after this, like, hot experience of moving around and dancing around and you're just pouring sweat, you're immediately kind of packing everything up, heading to the van, and you're just grabbing tons of water. You're just downing it as quickly as you possibly can. Of course, we're passing around the Purell at this point in time because we just shook hands with like 900 kids who wanted to high-five each and every one of us personally and just make us feel blessed. And then we just hang out as we head off to our next destination and just joke around, be comical, do whatever, or maybe we had to redo some stuff that we messed up on and we're like, hey, let's do a refresher of our dance moves, what those look like. And so, yeah, I needed that probably the most out of anybody.
The wonderful thing about doing this work is you get to do it over and over and over again. So by the end, you really know your dance moves. You know them very well. We repeated our presentation and basically the day that you just heard about 17 times. And went into 17 different schools and saw 6,100 kids. And God was with us. Our verse says, God is with you wherever you go. And wherever we went, he was there. And that's because of you guys and your prayers. And we really mean that because we felt your prayers. And it meant a lot to us.
Yeah, like Denise was saying, do not be discouraged is where the prayer stuff started to really come into play. And so as we had already alluded to, I, to start off the trip, became extremely sick. It's probably the most intense stomach bug I've ever had in my life. And immediately our first reaction was to turn to Lorraine and be like, can you text the church back home and just get the elders praying and get people praying about the sickness that I was experiencing, and Denise even experienced a little bit of that kind of stomach motion stuff. So it was just eye-opening to just reach out to God and pray for that. And almost immediately after the elders were sent a text that night, I slept a bunch, and I was healthy pretty much to go the next day. I wasn't eating very much, but I was ready to go, and I was happy for that, as I'd missed just one of the presentations in our first ministry day. And so that was kind of heartbreaking. And then at the end of the trip, we also had to pray a bunch for poor Robert, who, when we went fishing, experienced a little bit too much sun and, maybe didn't pack his water like he should have. Where was his mama when that was going on, eh? But yeah, other than that, like, it was so amazing. Just every time we turned to God in prayer, immediately we would see some sort of answer. I was like, man, how often do we have that faith when we're in our own kind of country, in our own nation, to see just everything unfold in that way when we pray? How often do we approach prayer in that fashion? And so that hit me so hard, and I'm like, man, I gotta change my prayer life. And it hit me so hard about how my faith in prayer at times was very lacking. And that was sad because, you know, I'm a pastor, so it was a hard hit.
We were very much involved with the Fijians throughout our day, and one way we liked to include them was to have them come back to where we were staying and have a meal with us and have a Bible study with us. And this is where I was really encouraged, and the do not be discouraged part of the verse came to me, was just seeing the faith of these people, the Fijians, Lamba, you know, 20 years old, and just so full of Jesus. And Marione, you know, she's probably, I don't know, 25 or 30, and she's so full of Jesus too. She actually works for Scripture Union. And Ezekiel, a very, very quiet, big, big Fijian man. He is the pastor of Cornerstone Church there. And he was so, like, such a warm presence. Whenever he showed up, I just felt God walk in the room with him. And he was amazing. When we would pray, Mike led a devotional on team building and being part of a team and being encouraged as part of a team. And part of what we did at the end of that is we would take one of the people that was working with us and we would pray over them. And to hear Ezekiel pray in Fijian over these people, you could just feel God fill the room. So it's amazing to work with these other Christian people in this country and know that God is real everywhere. And God answers prayers in whatever language. And it was just amazing to work with these people.
So this part here is just talking about do not be discouraged. And, you know, funny things can happen on a trip. One day we were finished and we did a little bit of shopping and then had some supper. Came home and I had a little bag of clothes and I, for some reason, put it beside the door. Oh, because we had to go look for the key. So we looked for the key and came back and went into the house. And then I just completely forgot about the clothes. Just obviously wasn't very important. And so the next, I never knew, so next morning I said, hey, Denise, I should wear my new shirt. I think this one here. And she goes, yeah, you should. I said, so where are they? We looked all over the place, and they're not there. I'm like, oh, no, sick. We left them outside. And they were gone. And I'm like, oh, someone took them. And so these guys started praying, and I was outside kicking myself. Well, long story short, they showed up the next day. And so, you know, God looks after the little things. He looks after the big things. And this is just a kind of a testimony to my amazing team and how they just, they didn't, you know, laugh at me or, you know, why did you do something silly like that? But, and God, he, you know, I was okay to have the $50 worth of clothes gone or whatever. They came back because God looks after the little things too.
Yeah, God takes care of the little things and he takes care of the big things as well. One of the answers to prayer was the people he sent into our lives in Fiji. Just the Fijian people were pretty amazing and supportive and able to help out. One of the people was Marione. She was one of the people who showed the initiative and booked like half of the schools we went to while we were there, like a week before we got there. She was also there to help us with the skits and sound systems, and she also helped to show me around. When it was when we weren't performing and stuff, we went to Bible study on a Tuesday, and I met a bunch of Fijians who speak English because they all speak English in Fiji, and it was just cool to see such mature Christians my age in another country. There was even one guy there that was a model, and you'd see him on the posters everywhere. It was kind of cool too. And there was Penny. He was like someone who works at the hospital. He was cool. He's my age. He's really connected really well. And later on, in the trip, we went to a festival together and had fun on the rides. And there was also Grace and Lemba, and I hung out with them a few times. And when I was off, sometimes I would go shopping with Marioni, and this is some things that I bought. Ta-da! And I was always looking for souvenirs for all my supporters in Fiji. They were always offering us food when we were going to their houses and stuff, too.
Do not be discouraged, for God answers prayers. And he certainly did over and over again. Now, a second world country, we arrive and we find out about our van. And our van isn't the typical van. If you went out to your parking lot, it would not be, you probably wouldn't find something like that there. We often, when we would try to get in, the doors wouldn't work. They wouldn't open or they wouldn't close. So it was always an issue about getting in and would you be able to get out. But the second day of our trip, as we were driving along, we took a look at our tires, and they were all bald and ready to be flat, and we just kept praying. We just kept praying that things would get done, and we prayed for the tires, and sure enough, somehow, magically, through God's divine intervention, we got replacement tires. We went that whole trip with that van, which you would question, and God looked after us. He brought us back safely. But one of our answers to prayers came on our when we arrived at the airport on our journey home. Now, traveling to Fiji seems really exotic, but the flight going over there and getting there is really an ordeal. Our flight coming home, and what could be booked at the time we booked them, was a 41-hour journey. That meant two nights flying all night long. It meant 12-hour layover in Hawaii, and that might sound exotic, but you have to remember that we were done. We were done with our trip, 41 hours. In airports and on our way home. So we walk in the airport, all five of us, and we weren't smiling like we are now. We were tired. This guy's red like a beet. You know, he's got welts all over his feet because he's been bitten. And I'll tell you what, if you don't know about sickness and how sickness can take over your life, add the word home, homesickness to it, and you look at that young man, and homesickness had taken him and squeezed him. He was so homesick, it was incredible. So there we walk in, and you look at the flights. We're about 3 or 4 hours early, and we looked, and you know, there's one to San Francisco, and there's one. And I said to Denise, while Michael went to the washroom, man. He was sort of looking forward to the layover. So anyway, I says, Denise, go and see if by any chance we could get home early. And I want you to, you know, think about that, being at the airport, five of us. What would be the chances that five of us could get an earlier flight home? Not much, right? I mean, that doesn't usually happen in the airport. But Denise goes over. She's walking over there. She just barely gets to the lady at the wicket. And there's Brad. And I'll tell you, you have never seen your pastor pray so fervently in the middle of the airport. There's people all around. And there he is. Jesus, help me. Help us to get that flight home earlier. And I'm going like, okay, dude, stand a little further, you know. But he's praying a lot. You know, for the last 20 days, he'd been fairly quiet. But now it's like, oh, my gosh, like, we'll get home even if it's 41 hours. You know, it's okay. Well, Denise goes, so I come over. She said, they can get us home through San Francisco. One-night flight, 21 hours. Whoa, what do you think of that? Like, five of us, are you sure? Like, get us, all of us, and everything would connect? We couldn't believe it. Well, then up comes Papa Bear, you know, who wants to go to Hawaii for some unknown reason. And we're staying there, and we said, well, that's fine. Aunt Grandma will go with the two, you know, sickies. And you guys go. And Mike says, nope, we are a family. We went as a family. We're coming back as a family. So, okay. In the meantime, the lady at the wicket says, what were you doing here? And Denise tells her about our mission, and tick, 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 tick. She says, why don't you relax in the business lounge before your flight? Oh, if you haven't ever done that, it's really wonderful. But Denise says, do you think that maybe we're in business class? I said, no, we're in row 14, we're not. But you know what? God's divine intervention took all of us on an earlier flight in business class. Now, if you know what it's like to fly overnight, you know that these 6 foot six giants, 6 foot five giants, are pretty crunched in there trying to sleep through the night. And we got business class on the way home. Not because of us, but because of God. And because of those powerful prayers of your pastor in the airport.
So this last part is just about the team. Fiji is comprised of many, many people who support this ministry. Like Denise mentioned, we were able to reach 6,100 children with our assembly message, and we distributed over 2,000 books. We taught somewhere between 30 and 40 teachers. How does this happen? Well, there's four ways.
One of the first ways is Mirror Lake Alliance, Community Alliance Church. You guys, if you didn't support us, you didn't do garage sales, you didn't do potlucks, you didn't do all what you've done, we couldn't go. And we appreciate it so much. And I'm all emotional today. Must be Joan's fault. Anyways, we just so appreciate what you give to us here, because this wouldn't be possible. And we've felt, Mike and I, such a home here in this church, and so blessed by this church day by day by day. And all your prayers for us personally, for Fiji, for Seeds, for the team. Lorraine has been such a blessing, and, you know, she's Ashley's mom, and so she's connected to this church. And this church is a big part of Fiji, and we appreciate it.
When I retired, I decided that part of my life would be to go on missions. And so this was my fourth mission and the second mission with the Mirror Lake Alliance. And I want to thank you because I am the outsider. I don't belong to this church. I'm not a member of this church yet. In my heart, I feel I do, because I know that when I've gone on those mission trips that I've been supported with encouragement and love and prayers. And I also know that the financial contributions that you made during those times towards the team made it possible for me to go as well. But I'm really blessed because I belong to Steel Heights Baptist Church, I belong to my Arizona church, and both of those churches support me financially. And with my own contributions, I'm able to go financially on my own. But I learned that you don't go on mission trips just collecting the money, just having money on your own. You need to go with church support. It doesn't happen. I talked at our church in Arizona about the mission trip, and I told them about Cornerstone Church, the church that we belong to once we get to Fiji, and I told them that they had a dirt floor, that they gathered together and praised the Lord and sang out their songs of worship on a ground. And I just mentioned it briefly, and one of my girlfriends, you know, my good Christian girlfriend, decided she'd raise money. And so she got a Olive Garden's gift certificate for $50 and sold tickets. And she raised over $700. And then Ashley and his family and my personal family contributed. And we were able to give the church at Cornerstone just a gift of love of $1,500 Fijian dollars to help build their floor. What a blessing it is to have the support of churches all around you. And I encourage you to continue to pray for your missions. And I'm going to encourage you, if you have a chance, join one.
And then another way is just, like, I want to say thank you to this church as well. I know this is going to sound goofy, but in the Christian Missionary Alliance, there are some churches that don't let their lead pastor go, and there's some lead pastors that don't want to go. And so I just feel so blessed that you allowed me to head out to Fiji and just be a part of this mission and just experience exactly what's happening out there. It was such a blessing to do that. And as we got there, I just saw how one of the local churches in Nandi was also a blessing. As they provided people to come out with us. That may not sound like a whole lot. It might not sound like much. But can you imagine if a missions group came here to the Canada area, how many of us are, like, ready to involve, give a whole week? In fact, one guy gave 2 weeks to travel around with the missions group and go to all these different schools and journey and just see everything happen. So we had Sam, who came for 2 whole weeks with us from the Cornerstone Church in Nandi. And Ezekiel was also our driver for 1 week. He was the pastor, and he gave up his time to go around and make sure that we safely arrived at every place. And let me tell you, we were very thankful for his driving compared to Sam. No offense to Sam and his driving abilities, but we were obviously a lot more encouraged by Ezekiel's calmer driving. So it's just the willingness of a church to give up their time like that, to come out and hang out with us, it's quite amazing to actually see that all unfold.
The fourth part that we just like to mention here is the church in Suva. So the church that Brad was referring to is in Nandi. But this year we got to go to Suva. And there's some connection with Les and Pat, our mentors, and the previous people who were in Fiji for 5 years. And that church, wow. I don't know if I can clearly articulate just how they surrounded us and wanted to be a part of this. When we were there, some of the young ladies took an entire week off as well to go with us to around all these other schools. They spent time with us in the evening as we were praying and Bible studies. And what's exciting is that they are interested in partnering with us in some way. And so we are looking forward to ways that we can foster that relationship. And we want to empower them. They are far more talented musically and all those other things than we are, far more. And they can do this. And Denise and I are excited about doing that. So what are the next steps as we come to a close today? Well, we want to return. Probably in 2020 sometime. Because we have relationships. We have momentum. God has and God is continuing to bless us. They want us to return. In fact, we haven't told them that we're probably not coming in 2019, but probably going to be disappointed. But like I said, we want to empower them because they can do this. And we just need to instill the confidence in them that they can take these books, they can go and do the teacher training, that they can do these presentations proclaiming Jesus in their own schools. That's what we're excited about. Now, does that mean Denise and I don't return? No. Maybe just in another way. It's all up to God. The next step is we need prayer for strength, for workers, for continued connection, for God's timing. Just, you know, Denise woke up this morning at 4 o'clock praying for a couple in Fiji, because they need our prayers too, just like we do. We need to pray. So God is good, and there's many, many things. And, you know, you guys know that I'm passionate about this. And, but there's many awesome, terrific things going on in Fiji in relation to seeds. And the country itself needs prayer. They are trying to hold firm and fast to their values. But these other things are creeping in. And it's getting more and more difficult to go into the schools and to proclaim Jesus. And so we want to keep doing that until we can't. But God is so good. So we have a video that has been prepared. And so we're just going to go sit down and you can go ahead and play that.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us we pray. Unveil why.
So to close off, I think we're going to do something a little different than what we usually do. I'm going to do my benediction now and then have Dave and Helga come up and sing after us. And Dave, if you don't mind when you're done just praying for our potluck afterwards, thank you. It was truly a blessing to be on this trip. And if you couldn't see while you were on it, the work of God and the Holy Spirit while we were out there, boy, you must have had your eyes closed the whole time. And we had moments where there was joy on our team. We had moments of tension. We had moments of sorrow and tears as we departed from Fiji. And it's such a blessing to think back on the trip. And yeah, it would be easy probably to look at some of the negatives, but why would we want to do something like that when God was involved in something so amazing as we went to different schools? So, my benediction today is this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be anxious. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. And that's Joshua 1:9. And let us go out in the world and show that same strength and courage in our own nation to the people in our own community.